evening.
Good evening.
That is a very strange document you sent me.
I'm sorry. Let me put you a little bit louder. I didn't hear you. Okay.
I said that's a very strange document you sent me.
I know. The only thing, a couple of years ago, in one of my meditations, I remember talking to you about it. I saw the Olivet chart that was in my classroom. All of a sudden, the letters started just almost like a typewriter, and it was typing all my names. And then when it ended, they all went back up to the chart on the wall, except a white background. The charts were yellow background with black letters. Covered the Aleph. I got a new Aleph on top of that chart. The background was white, and the Aleph was black. And you asked me if I had an Aleph in my name, and I said no. And that was the end of our conversation. So this is another appearance of the Aleph.
Well, the Aleph is about unity. You know that.
Right. Rabbi Sutton also said it was the key to redemption, and that Hazinu was the gate. And that's been on my mind for almost a year. And then one time you had Olive printed where the Vav was really two Vavs, and each part had to do with the three souls of Mashiach.
Right.
So, I mean, that's...
So the reason that the Olive having to do with redemption is because the difference between exile and redemption is the Olive in the Geulah. The letters that spell Geulah without the Aleph spell exile.
Yes, I remember you teaching that one time. Anyway, all the numbers had meaning to everything. I mean, they all seemed to go together.
Understood.
Malka.
Good evening.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoah. Anna Bekoah. Gedulat Shemita Tati Terura Aleph Bet Gimel Yutat Stadi Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Abel Rinat Amcha Sag Beinu Aharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Bra Satan Terap Satan Arkatan, the small gates reminding us to guard our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Parnasa or sustenance and a healing sequence. Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sikatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Reish Tavitav Gimel. The sequence connects to the Sephirah of Netzach and its essence of eternal victory, eternity. Kasim Kadosh Biro Tucha Nael Adata Et Kufet Tet Nunayan. The sequence connects to the Sephirah of Hod and its essence of appreciation, thankfulness, and gratitude. Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence connects to the Sephirah of Yesod and its essence of creativity, creation, sexuality, and foundation. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shinkufav Tzadiyuta. The sequence connects to the Sephirah of Malchut and its essence of manifestation and kingship. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this initial creation that we have just brought into our world. We utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohe Wahe, Adonai Yohe Wahe, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apaim V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notzer Chesed La'alachim, Noseya Won Wafesha, V'Chata'a V'Nake. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. The verse is in Parashat Yitro, known as Pasuk 29, and we will start with the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kutshab Rechu Ishkinte Bibhilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Liakda L'Shem Yudhe Bavate Beyehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Laino amandu dai Elohino alena maseya dena penene alena maseya dena penenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tane Nandukucha Parichu Koma de Aved Leela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. By studying a verse with the same energy, we're able to connect to this energy of peace in the Middle East. The verse that we study from the Tanakh is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Withamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael undati v'shakan. Tal willow your gaz, old willow Yosifu, Bene Avlala Anoto, Ka Asher Barishona. The energy of the current year, 5781, is redemption. Redemption will only happen when the children of Israel are prepared. One of the ways we prepare is by studying a verse that has the same gematria as the year. 781. The verse is from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 21. Vagam mehem eka lakohanim lalibim Amar Adonai yo he wahe adanu yo yo wahe da wanu heyo. We will now connect to the 72 names of God, utilizing a tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te ala me me he shi la la he aka aka he ta he za yo ala da la a wa he he ya yo za la me be he he yo he ko me la
has joined
ka la yo la wa wa pe he la. Nu la ha yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa. Nu ta he he a a, yo re ta shi a he. Re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re. Yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da. Anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za. Hey, 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 me yo ha, wa wa la, yo la, hey. Ka a la, re yo, a shi la, me yo, hey. Wa hey, wa, da nu yo, hey, hey, shi, a me, me. Nu nu wa, nu yo ta, me be, hey, hey, wa yo. Nu me, me, yo, yo la, hey, re, hey, me ta, re. Wa me be, yo, hey, hey, a nu wa, me, hey, yo. Da me be me nu ko ayo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa be. The tzaddikim who left this day, the fourth day of Adar, Rabbi Ze'ev Wolf of Ostracha, Rabbi Shmuel Abba Shapira of Slavita, Rabbi Abraham Landau of Chechno, Rabbi Eliezer Laser Gordon, Rabbi Mordechai Shlomo Friedman, Rabbi Yosef Farbstein. In the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach, we say in a whisper, please cover your eyes as we say together. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Adonai Elohecha b'kol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol meodecha v'hayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha v'shinantam levanecha v'dibarta bam v'shiftecha b'vetecha v'lechtecha b'aderech Ushachbacha ukumecha Ukshartam liod al yadecha Uichayu letotafot beinecha Uktavtam al mezuzot betecha Uvisharecha. class tonight is one of the writings of the Ari from the Parsha of Truma. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in row 14, the second column from the left. When that landing page opens up, you can scroll down to Parashat Truma, and then there's two links under it. It's the second link titled Developing Divine Dwellings. I found this writing to be really stimulating. I hope you do the same. Developing Divine Dwellings. The ability to house the divine presence progressed over time. When I first read that sentence, it took me aback because I had never considered it in that sense. That we went from the Mishkan to a certain location in the land of Israel, then to another location, finally to Jerusalem, and then we built the temple. And then it was destroyed, and then the second temple was built, and it was destroyed. That process is being described as the ability to house the divine presence progressed over time. In this Torah portion, Truma, God tells Moses to build the tabernacle. And Maimonides writes, the tabernacle that Moses built was a temporary structure. As it is written, for you have not yet come to the repose and inheritance that Hashem your God is giving you. When the Jews entered the land of Israel in the year 2488, they set up the tabernacle at Gilgal, and it stood there for 14 years until 2502, while they conquered and divided the land. From there, they came to Shiloh and built there a stone structure and spread the tapestries of the tabernacle over it. Yet it did not have a fixed roof, so it was still temporary. The tabernacle of Shiloh stood thus for 369 years until 2871, when Eli died. It was taken down. They went to Nob and built a sanctuary there. When Samuel died, it was taken down. They went to Gibeon and built a sanctuary there. After Gibeon, they went to the permanent temple. The structures at Nob and Gibeon stood for a total of 57 years until 2928, or 832 BCE, when the first temple was built. When I read that paragraph, I just hadn't really considered it. That whole process, structure after structure, all temporary. It's like we hadn't earned the right to have a permanent structure. But I had just never considered it. Significance of the tabernacle of the Sinai Desert and the tabernacle of Shiloh And the temple is as follows. Know that in the tabernacle, Zeren, Pin, and Nukva were back-to-back on weekdays. This is the significance of the fact that the numerical value of the word for tabernacle in Hebrew Mishkan is 410, alluding to the two regressive iterations of the name Elohim. For the numerical value of the regressive iteration of the name Elohim, plus 5 units for the 5 letters of the name itself is 205. Mishkan is spelled Mem Shin Kaf Nun. And if you look at the gematria, it totals 410. The regressive iteration of the name Elohim, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem, is as follows. Aleph, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed Hey, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud, Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem. When you look at all of that gematria, it comes to 200. This is the mystical significance of the verse. And he came to the mountain of God, of Elohim, to Horeb. Mountain signifies the name Elohim. And then, therefore, it is Horeb, rooted in the Hebrew word for destruction, for it signifies strict judgment, not settlement. When they face back to back, everything is in a state of severe judgment. The numerical value of the word for mountain is Har, spelled He and Resh, which totals a gematria of 205. And as we just saw, it refers to the regressive iteration of the name Elohim. The word Horeb means destruction. Thus, this verse can be read, and he came to the mountain, which signifies the name Elohim, undergoing destruction, meaning withdrawal or regression. The name Elohim, we know, is always associated with Giborah, with judgment and severity. And its withdrawal signifies an especially negative situation, in which the divine beneficence is severely limited. The divine consciousness implied by such a situation is not sufficient to civilize reality, and therefore leaves reality outside its own realm. It leaves it as a desert or a wasteland, devoid of divine consciousness. 2 times the numerical value of mountain is 205, times 2 is 410. And this equals the numerical value of the mount of the tabernacle, the Mishkan, being 410. Thus, the two mountains of the tabernacle are the two partsufim of Zeren, Pin, and Nukva, in their limited states of divine consciousness. In fact, the two backs of Zeren, Pin, and Nukva, signified by the two mountains that were just mentioned, were facing and clinging to each other in the desert on the weekdays. And this is why the tabernacle existed in the desert, a desolate place. For it alluded to Zeren, Pin, and Nukva's backs, since in America Valley, the word for tabernacle is twice that of the word for mountain, as mentioned. When they face back to back, everything is in a state of severe judgment, signified by the name Elohim. In the tabernacle at Shiloh, Zeren, Pin, and Nukva turned around to face each other. But the Nukva was manifest only as the partsuf of Rachel, whose stature extends only from the chest of Zeranpin downward. Therefore, the structure of the tabernacle at Shiloh had built permanent walls, but no roof. In the temple, Zeranpin and Nukva were of equal stature. The state of face-to-face is a more permanent and deeper union between the two parts of Pim. This was indicated by the construction of the tabernacle, the home of the divine couple being built with permanent walls. But since this face-to-face union was not complete, only from the chest down, the permanence of the structure was only in its lower half, not its ceiling or its roof. Psychologically, this means that we are only able to express the lower half of the emotions. The aspects of the emotions directed towards expression. The higher aspect of the emotions as they are informed by the intellect, the idea that produced them is truncated. It would appear to me, Rabbi Chaim Vital, that after prayers every day, Zeranpin and Nukva revert back to being back to back, and this is why it was still called a tabernacle. Since the numerical value of tabernacle, as above, alludes to Zeranpin and the Nukva being back to back. This is also why the numerical value of Shiloh is the same as that of Moses. In Hebrew, Moshe is 345, and so is Shiloh. For the numerical value of the shin of Moses being 300 is the same as that of the name Elohim spelled out with the letter Yud. Aleph Lamed He Peh is 111, Lamed Mem Dalet 74, A Yud is 15, and Yud Bav Dalet is 20, and the Mem Mem is 80. The total of the spelled out name is 300. This serves to indicate that the original state of Zeranpin and Nukva was that of the back-to-back of the name Elohim, seen in its regressive iteration. But now in Shiloh, they are face-to-face, as indicated by the supernal form of the name Elohim, its spelling out with the letter Yud. The letter Yud signifies Chokmah, wisdom, the highest conscious Sephirah. And whenever it is used to spell out a divine name, as opposed to the letters Aleph or He, this indicates the presence of Chokmah in the state signified by that name. The Mem and He of Moshe alludes to the name Ma, which is 45. Which is Hashem's name spelled with the letter Aleph. The numerical values of Mem and He are 40 and 5, which together add up to 45. The numerical value of the name Havaya, when it is spelled out with Aleph, as follows. Yud Bav Dalet is 20. He Aleph is 6. Vav Aleph Vav is 13, He Aleph is 6, and this totals a total of 45. This indicates that now, at Shiloh, Zeranpin is no longer manifesting the name Elohim, but rather the name Havaya. So at Shiloh, Zerampin is no longer manifesting the name Elohim, but rather it's the name Haviah, spelled out to be equal to 45, and also to indicate that it is facing the Nukva. The name Haviah, associated with the attribute of mercy, indicates a much higher level of divine consciousness than does the name Elohim. But in the temple, Zerampin and Nukva were of equal stature, and the Nukva extended up to and included the measure of the subpartsuf of Leah. Therefore, the numerical value of the word for temple, mikdash, is the same as that of the word for measure, midat. As I have explained in regard to the mystical meaning of the verse, and the measure of my days, what it is for Leah is called the measure. Mikdash, mem kuf dalet shin, totals 444. Midat, mem dalet ta, totals 444.
Has joined.
Leah is the expression of thought as opposed to Rachel, which is the expression of speech and action. The partsuf of Leah is the expression of thought as opposed to Rachel, which is the expression of speech and action. Leah thought is more suited to express ideas and intellect, while Rachel, speech and action, is more suited to express emotion. Thus, Leah's position is opposite the upper half of Zerampin, the aspect of the emotions that are still connected to the intellect. This is the mystical meaning of our sage's statement, that in the days of King Solomon, the moon was full. King Solomon built the first temple, the Midrash, counting Abraham as the first Jewish king, counts 14 kings between him and the King Solomon, and another 14 kings from King Solomon to the destruction of the first temple. Thus, King Solomon is the 15th of 30 kings. These 30 kings correspond to the 30 days of a lunar month, and thus the institution of Jewish monarchy is seen as starting as a new moon, with Abraham waxing until its greatest point in the person of King Solomon, and then waning as Jewish civilization became more decadent after him, until the destruction. Now, I am adding, here is a list of the kings and the relationship to each day of each Hebrew month. Day one is Rosh Chodesh, being Abraham. Day two is Isaac. Day three is Jacob. Day four is Yehuda ben Yaakov, the tribe of the nation of Jews. Day five is Peretz. Day six is Hezron. Day seven is Ram. Day eight is Aminadav. Day nine is Nachshon. Day 10 is Salmon. Day 11 is Avimelech ben Gideon. He's written in the book of Judges, chapter 9, verse 6. Day 12 is King Shaul. Day 13 is Ish-Boshet. Day 14 is King David. And day 15 is the full moon day, is King Solomon. Day 16 is Rehoboam, who ruled 3 years, and then the nation divided, and Rehoboam was king in the northern kingdom, known as Ephraim. Day 17 is Jeroboam, 18 is Nadav. And that is where it ended, in what was written, so I don't know how to fill in the balance of the days. And so I'm saying that the above is not complete. So the Nukva grew to be equal to the full stature of Zeranpin. And what does that represent? That represents the moon growing to the level of the sun, as the prophecy in Isaiah expresses. The moon is a correlate of the Nukva, as can be seen, among other ways, in the correlation between the lunar month and the menstrual cycle. The full moon thus indicates the full maturation of the Partsuf of the Nukva, which occurred when King Solomon built the temple. Therefore, when he dedicated the temple, King Solomon made a 14-day feast, divided into two groups of seven, corresponding to Rachel and Leah. And Solomon celebrated the festival at that time, and all Israel with him, a great congregation, from Libo Hamat until the Wadi of Egypt, before Hashem, our God, 7 days and seven nights. 7 days and 7 days, or a total of 14 days, as it's expressed in the Book of Kings, chapter 8. Malchut is the seventh Sephirah of the Midot. Thus, the seven-day periods each correspond to the two aspects of Malchut, the two sub-partsufim of Leah and Rachel. That's the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? So the progression of the temple, of the Mishkan, it was built as a temporary residence, and then it came into the land of Israel, to the city of Nov, and then it was moved to the city of Shiloh, where it was built with permanent walls, but the roof was not enclosed. It wasn't permanent. It was still meant to be a temporary structure. And it wasn't until King Solomon built the temple, the first temple, decreed by Hashem, where in the city of Jerusalem. But that discussion is very meaningful. Are there any questions? You all have a beautiful evening. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Good night.
Thank you.